Chapter 28. They hopped on the fly outside of the Syracuse yard before the small band of tracks divided and then divided again into the thickened parallel arteries clogged with shipping containers, engines, sleeping rail cars, and the occasional patrolling bull. The area seemed somehow nicer than the last. There were less buildings, and the buildings that were out there were not abandoned. And though the night sky was still dark down to the horizon, Giles could tell the world around him was a shade of green he had not seen in years. There was a fresh kind of wetness in the air, just beneath the reek of diesel fumes, and the wind felt better on his skin than it had in Cleveland. They waited for the train to come down to its meandering approach speed before jumping, and though Giles had convinced himself he was ready, he still rolled when he hit the ground, swallowing back a grunt when his feet descended past the point where he expected to find gravel, only to find it a little later, and by then his knees were not ready. He tumbled over his shoulder, over his hips, and was back up a moment later, running, losing barely any momentum, and was absurdly proud of his little athletic feat. Sigma, now awake, crunched obliviously on by, rushing to the shadow of a nearby fence to keep out of sight. When Giles and Dora caught the hoplite up, they turned and looked back at the boxcar. Giles thought he saw a gray face looking back at them, and nearly waved a goodbye. But then it was gone, and the door they had pushed open to jump through rolled slowly closed until it barked up against the rail spike in the track. Then the boxcar was gone around a bend forever. There was a sleepy neighborhood east of the train yard, and the three wanderers hiked a few miles over grassland to reach it. Lovely little homes with board siding, Duravinyl if the owners had money, long straight driveways, and large handsome yards of manicured grass. Many of the homes were single-story, though there were a few with top floors. And as they walked silently along the edge of the little hamlet, they spied those that had detached garages. Eventually, Sigma located a self-drive of appropriate size that they could access, and a short while later, they were running through the back roads that winded and intersected like a wild tracery of cobwebs, keeping to ways less traveled, certainly avoiding the toll road, which was lined with unwanted eyes. When he was sure they were safely on their way, sure that no one would jump out and challenge their departure, Giles pulled up a lens map of the state, located Albany as the closest waypoint, and then found the old lab from there. "Sigma, can you see what I'm seeing?" he asked. "I can." "Good. Let's go to this spot here, please. Keep us in the woods if possible." "That location is somewhat removed from Anagnorisis Labs." "I know. I want to creep up on it, kind of." "I see. Understood. Thanks, Sigma." He fell to looking silently out his window, watching the dark world scroll by. The high wall of trees that flowed past like green-black water as the road twisted and turned, the wall breaking every so often to expose a field or an old home out in the middle of nowhere. The moon had gone away when they were still on the train, and the world was very dark now. But looking at the time overlay, Giles thought the sky would be reddening before too long. He wondered how it would be. Would they arrive before the sun or after? He hoped they would arrive before. Heaven or fate, just help them to arrive before. "What are you thinking back there?" Dora asked.
"Lots, but nothing organized.
Hard to describe. You've been doing it for something like an hour now."
"Doing what?"
"Thinking. You've been back there silent for something like an hour." Giles blinked and looked around the cabin, though what he saw told him little. Sigma in the passenger seat reclined all the way back out of sight, and Dora directly ahead in the driver's seat. Funny that, how they still called it a driver's seat. Hardly anyone drove anymore. Only if you had an abuelo, as Dora said. After a while, she asked, "Do you know how you'll get the files you need?"
"Not exactly."
"No."
She sounded alarmed.
"Dora, I don't know that I counted on getting this far."
"Well, you better start figuring it out, Big Shot. We'll be there in another half hour or so."
"Yeah, I know."
"What about the door? How will you get through?"
He looked out the window again and thought a moment.
"I guess I'll just walk on by."
Dora looked into the back seat.
"I beg your pardon?"
He made a little walking gesture with his fingers and shrugged.
"And security just lets you in there, right?"
"I'm counting on it to be automated."
"I thought you were wanted for murder, Giles."
"I wonder about that," he said.
His voice was absent, as if he spoke to her from the other end of a dream.
What?
I wonder about that. You asked me what I've been thinking about. I've been thinking about everything, Dora. Everything that's happened over the last few days. I tried to do it on the train, but there was no way. Not with all that banging. It was everything I could do to keep my brains from leaking out through my ears. Then there was Belin a ways back, and I was a little worked up over that. But it's been quiet in this nice bubble now, and I've been thinking about all the things that don't add up. I've been thinking about Belin's refusal to die, and how he kept finding us, and how the footage of the killing on TV showed only me with the gun and you and Sigma nowhere in sight. I've been thinking about how we ripped up a whole city, and the cops never hauled us off, or even showed up, really. Or how you could walk the streets the day after I supposedly killed a man and you didn't see my face anywhere on anything. I saw myself on TV, sure, and they had me dead to rights, whether I did it or not. But not a damn thing when you stepped out the door. Yeah, a lot of things don't add up. I've been spending this last little while trying to get them to sum.
Yeah? What does that have to do with us getting into that lab?
If I add it wrong, nothing at all. But if I'm adding things right, maybe quite a bit. Dora scoffed.
So what's your answer then?
Giles looked over at Sigma and wondered if he was listening. His power level was down to some 15%, and he was juggling systems constantly now, turning them on and off as needed to stretch out every last watt. Giles had been alarmed at how the power drained during their overland hike.
I don't want to say.
Well then, I guess there's not much I can do to help you, is there? She asked.
He squeezed her shoulder gently and said, You've done more than I ever could have asked. I never would have made it this far without you. He removed his hand, but not before hers found it and returned the squeeze. Anyway, he continued, You don't have to take the last steps with me. You'll hang back when we go.
I need to take Sigma in case...
Yeah, no, I'm going to.
Dora?
Nope.
I've come this far. I'm not hanging back at the end. You can try to stop me, Giles, but then you'd better hope you know how to fight dirtier than me.
He smiled.
I'm certain I don't.
Bet your ass you don't.
Fine.
He continued to smile. He wiped at his eyes when they moistened, but the smile would not leave.
So you guess you can just walk through the door?
I hope so.
Won't say why you think it, but you do.
I have nothing concrete, but yes.
Because of the things that don't add? She asked.
Yes.
You'll explain later?
If I get the chance, Dora, yes, I'll explain it all.
Good enough, then.
Sigma was down to 3% of charge when they parked the car 100 yards off from the property. Much of it was different from what Giles remembered. It was no longer a single building. Two more had been added at some point, and circling the perimeter of the campus was a tall, razor-wired gate. There was a memory he had inside himself. A memory he always tried to keep walled off because it hurt so goddamn much to let out. But it came out now. And in it he saw himself passing along that empty road leading to the central building. Only now the road was not empty. Now there was that big damned gate with a guard shack slapped right in the middle.
Guards?
Dora whispered. Giles looked through her, through the trees and bushes beyond, sweeping the entire area with his green starlit eyes. As he searched, the eastern horizon shone blood red behind them, and on the wave of the dawning sun, color seeped into the world. Giles muted the starlight for the last time and said, Nothing mobile. Auto cameras and the like. No people yet, if they still use people.
Sigma, could I see hoplites out there if they had them?
Yes.
Or other models? A Talos?
Yes, of course.
Giles nodded.
All right. Well, then we'd better get moving before people start showing up to work.
He exited the car, not waiting for the others, and strolled toward the shack. A few moments later, he heard them both come up behind him, Dora's light padding and Sigma's ridiculous plodding crunch.
You've got a password or something? She asked.
No.
Well, the toaster, then?
I serve many functions in excess of a toaster, Miss Dora.
She glanced at his missing arm and nodded.
You do. I'm sorry, Sigma.
There was a beat of silence lost among the trees, and then,
of course. How about it, Sigma?
Giles sighed.
Do you have any magic to bring us through that gate? A big wooden horse, maybe?
I regret to say the security protocols are unknown to me.
Giles nodded.
As I'd thought. We'll just have to hope.
Hope what?
Dora asked. Giles stopped directly before the gate, looked around the shack a while, and when he found the camera tucked up under the eave, he raised his voice and said,
I'm here, Cronus. Let's talk.
What the hell?
Dora whispered. The gate pinged loudly, as if someone had glanced a steel ball bearing off the post, and then it retracted behind the shack.
What is this? Giles, what is this?
I don't know yet, he said. I think I might be starting to know, but...
He looked at Sigma and tried.
Cronus?
Sigma, Giles.
He sighed.
Of course. Maybe not.
We must hurry. My charge is nearly depleted.
Giles nodded and pushed ahead through the empty lot. He could now feel the growing heat of the sun at his back. It felt very good to him. A doubleness came on in his mind. The doubleness of a young and old Giles walking the same ground, occupying the same space through different times. He knew one of them would go into that building up ahead and disappear for a time, and when he came out again, he would go home and find Annalise. She would be waiting for him, and he would be happy to see her. Relieved to see her, yes. But he would be occupied with his own troubles. He would see his failures only, and not her, or the smile she offered, nor the acceptance she still harbored, nor the love. Not the love. He would see only himself, right up until the end. And then she would be gone. And now, the other Giles, older Giles, who had to look at pictures to keep her face, and who could not stand to see old videos of her, and had therefore lost the color of her voice, now he walked into that same building. The front door opened automatically as they approached. Giles stepped through, not knowing what might be, but knowing whatever came would likely be an end. And some kind of end would be all right. Just about any kind of end would be all right. The lights came on when his feet hit the carpet, dark to warming orange, to a soft glow. And he saw how the lobby had changed over the years. New pictures of different accolades, achievements he no longer understood. There was the old reception desk, though, and he was somehow gratified to see it still had the same old wood trim. He heard Dora blow a soft, appreciative whistle, and he turned his head to smile back at her. But then he caught a green shimmer from the corner of his eye. The world seemed to phase, a cloud of green, violent static buzzing everywhere. Then cleared. He looked for the shimmer and found it on the other side of the door. Focusing, he saw it was a nameplate overlay. The name inside of it said, Damon. There was no other information but this. More static, flashing and dimming by turns, until Giles found himself blinking his eyes reflexively, fearing he would be blinded. Closing his eyes did not matter. The flashing happened under the lids, within the lenses, and as Giles blinked against the glare, he heard within his mind a faraway voice say, That's all I have. Sigma's body crashed to the carpet, shaking the floor beneath their feet. The static flashing had stopped, but now all Giles could see was the suggestion of the world through a milky, cloud-like gauze. He thought he could see the door across the lobby beginning to open, and with his thumb and index finger, he worked at his eyes to extract the lenses. While his eyes were closed, he heard a gasp, the stutter of rapid footsteps, and then Dora was snarling as she only did in a good fight. Giles finally managed to pinch the lenses from his eyes. Casting them away, he looked up and saw Dora tangled hand-to-hand with the round-faced man in the center of the lobby. He had his hands clamped over her wrists and was leaning into her, forcing her downward until her knees nearly touched the carpet. Giles screamed something. It might have been words or a curse. Maybe it was just her name, he screamed. He did not know. He only knew he was rushing them now, pitched forward at full speed, fists readied and screaming. Screaming a bloody red rage. His right fist raked across the man's face, a glancing blow, and Giles marveled absently how it was not so easy to punch a target as small as a face when the adrenaline was truly surging and your arm was powered by every last bit of hate you had in you. The second punch was much better. It landed square into the other man's nose, rocked his head back, and he released Dora's wrists as he stumbled. Something had gone wrong in Giles's hand on impact, though. Something sharp and loud, and he thought he could feel whatever it was up in his elbow. He took another swing, missed, and swung again with his left, the hand that had gone wrong, and this time impacted the round-faced man in the chest, and then Giles knew for goddamn sure something was wrong, because every nerve up and down his arm and halfway into his chest let him know it. There was a hollow thud from someplace behind him. He felt it through his heels without registering he had felt it. A delayed feeling he took his time in processing as he advanced on the son of a bitch who was still stumbling back, still backing away, and maybe looked like falling back into a chair. Giles didn't think he could hit the man again with his left, which was okay. His left was his stupid hand anyway. But he thought he could not use that hand for anything else either, and he figured he had to keep backing the son of a bitch up, because if he ever got his feet under him, Giles had no idea what to do next. But that thud had come from behind, from where he had left Dora. He felt his guts drop out from under his body, half expected to feel them splash his ankles, and he forgot all about Mr. Roundface as he turned back and saw Dora on the carpet, crumpled over on herself, as still and lifeless as Sigma. He took a moment to stare at her, to feel his heart breaking all over again. Then it all went black.